Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Hello and welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. We explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
And we are going to talk soccer. United Soccer League COO and Chief Real Estate Officer Justin Papadakis is here with us to talk about it. Well, let's break it down here. I mean, first of all, the USL, you guys are competing with a lot of other leagues. Never mind overseas. We're talking about competing with leagues here right in the United States.
We are competing, but what we try to do at the USL is be the top level of soccer in our market. And what we see is just an amazing growth of is two things. People have passion for soccer, and they have a passion for their community. And whether that's in Rhode Island or Des Moines or Milwaukee or Knoxville, the passion for soccer in their community is real, and that's what's driving the just amazing growth of our league.
Can you put this into perspective for us? What is USL relative to Major League Soccer or U.S. Soccer, which is the nonprofit that oversees the men's national team and the women's national team?
So the U.S. Soccer is the governing body that oversees all of soccer in the United States from recreation all the way up to professional. And the World Cup that's happening in a week or so, the Federation also is the party that has the U.S. national team, men's and women's. And so for non-soccer listeners, that is the national team in the United States that goes and plays the national teams countries around the world. The USL, we operate at the club level. So, you know, think of, you know, in the NBA, you have the Chicago Bulls versus the men's national team in basketball. So the USL, we operate clubs all across the country. And what's most exciting, guys, is this. We see that we have the World Cup coming here in a couple weeks. The World Cup is coming to the United States in 2026. Mm-hmm. And that will bookend just a fantastic growth in sport. In 1994, we brought the World Cup here in the United States for one specific reason, and that was to foster the development and growth of soccer in the United States. Fast forward to 2026, at the USL, just the USL, we'll have over 70 professional men's teams and probably an equivalent number of women's teams and billions of dollars of stadium infrastructure and millions of fans that come to our matches. In addition to the USL, you also have the MLS on the men's side and the NWSL on the women's side. So the USL sits in a unique place in that we are the only league to have both men's and women's, in addition to academies with, you know, 15 or so thousand youth players underneath our professional properties.
So, Justin, the USL serves as a youth to professional pathway. I mean, and clearly you've had some success there, right? Because by my count, 11 USL alumni have recently been named to the U.S. World Cup team in Qatar this year, right? I mean, I'm talking Aronson, you know, Leeds. I mean, what a goal he had earlier this year, huh? Adams, Ferrara, Turner. You know, talk to me about the growth of the USL and how it attempts to kind of insert itself between, as you point out, college, recreational, and professional, and how are you kind of developing players and getting them to the next level?
This is one of the most exciting aspects about soccer, and one that at the world level, they are viewing USL as really the sleeping giant. And so the progress on, and we have to separate the men's and the women's, because we actually have two, you know, there's kind of two different situations there. On the men's side, we've now corrected some structural flaws that we've had in developing professional players. And so at a high level, historically, you know, our players haven't played in a professional environment until they graduated college. And that's not how it is in the rest of the world, where professional players, you know, they start training in professional environments starting at 14, 15, 16 years old. And then getting professional minutes. What we're most proud of at the USL is that, you know, we now have thousands of playing jobs for players, and we're going to create at least another 1,000 on the men's side over the next couple of years. On the women's side, you know, our women's athletes are the best in the world. They are the gold standard. And so despite that, and they've been able to achieve that, despite only having 200 professional playing jobs here in the United States. With the USL Super League, we're going to quadruple that number over the next 5 years. And really importantly as well, we'll be the first league to have an equal pay structure for our professional men's and women's players. And so I think whether on the men's side or women's side, the future of soccer is so bright here in the United States, and can't wait for, you know, our men's players to, you know, demonstrate the progress that we're making in the World Cup in the next couple of weeks.
Now, if someone wants to watch this, because this kind of acts like a gateway pipeline for soccer talent, can people watch this on TV? I mean, I know old man Barr here. He'll, you know, put up his rabbit ears, and he wants to see it on TV. Do you stream it, or what do you do?
So all of our matches are on the men's side. The women's side, we're in media negotiations right now. But on the men's side, all of our matches are on ESPN Plus. Mm-hmm. And then we have 20 or so games on ESPN2. So I think one major difference that kind of gets to your question, in all of our other sports in the United States, you have a construct, a major league and minor league construct. And so in soccer, we don't have that. And so one of the differences, again, just to show that why that contract doesn't exist, is the USL plays the MLS in a tournament every year. And so at the final of the tournament this year, it was one MLS team versus one USL team. Unfortunately, we lost the game, but it shows how competitive the USL is against the MLS on the field. And then off the field, we are in major growth mode in so many areas, but particularly, you know, we have about $2 billion of stadium anchor development right now, and we're going to be adding at least another $2 billion over the next year. So what we're, again, really, really proud of is that our communities, and those are, you know, large communities relative to Europe, but in the United States, you know, Knoxville, we just announced a club. Knoxville, they care so much about Knoxville. And while they are part of Tennessee, they have their own identity. And we're really about creating clubs that have the identity of their community. And from Knoxville to Milwaukee to Spokane, all these expansion clubs we're building, the support they're getting because they're really built in the reflection of their club. You know, that's why we hit, you know, 3 million people this year through our gates. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to look to double that over the next several years.
Okay, so very community-based.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You're also the chief real estate officer. And I know that 31 of the 38 professional USL clubs this year played in stadiums built or renovated for soccer. Can you walk us through what a stadium built or renovated for soccer looks like, what it means? Because I'm thinking here in New York, we've got a soccer team, an MLS team that is looking for a permanent home and kind of has to borrow other teams and other sports as venues. What does a stadium built specifically for soccer require?
I think I'm the only chief real estate officer in sports. And the reason for that is that everything starts with the stadium, right? So, and we think about the entire fan journey. So it's not actually only the stadium, it's also the stadium entertainment district around it. And so this area of sports was really developed here in the United States. When you look at LA Live and the new SunTrust Park down in Atlanta and so many others, this is where the United States has really led the world in terms of creating holistic entertainment districts. And that's something that is a huge part of USL, because not only does it create a great stadium for our fans and a great atmosphere for our players, but we're also creating billions of dollars of economic impact for our communities. We really work with our city, county, and state partners to identify land that for various reasons, and most times it's in the urban core, that has been underdeveloped. And the reason for it underdeveloped is that you just don't have the catalyst. You need all these, you need people to have bars and restaurants, and you need bars and restaurants to have people.
Right, but isn't this the case for stadiums for any sport? I mean, this is not unique to USL.
It is. It's not. But what the advantage that soccer has is that we really try to make these multi-use venues. And so not only you have men's soccer and women's soccer, but concerts, high school football. We really try to make sure that this stadium is used as much as possible. And the size of our footprint, you know, 5,000 to 15,000 seat stadiums, we're able to, unlike an NFL stadium, for instance, we can put that, we can assemble 20, 30 acres and really have an integrated development that creates a fan journey, a fantastic fan journey, and also creates, you know, apartments, hotels, bars and restaurants that really bring tremendous economic impact to our community.
So the USL had 27 teams this year, right? And this Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, we've got the final matchup between San Antonio and Louisville. Talk to us about what your expectations are for viewership, for turnout. I mean, are you going to have people traveling? I mean, and more importantly, how would you evaluate the success of that event?
So success, it's been sold out the day after it went on sale. So there's definitely going to be a sellout. And success really, I think how we define success at the USL, you know, we're kind of expecting to sell out our stadiums now. What I love about soccer is the soundtrack to games, right? And so we measure, when we go to a stadium, it's not do we have people in seats, is are people sitting in their seats for most of the game? And the electricity, the excitement, the energy in our stadiums, that is what is really differentiates USL. We have slightly smaller stadiums than the MLS, smaller stadiums than the NFL. But as a fan in a USL stadium, the energy, the passion, the excitement, we believe is second to none. That's what you'll see in San Antonio. And that's what you see all across the USL. And so we know we'll have great ratings on ESPN. And for us, it's we hope it's a great match on the field because these two clubs really perform well.
Justin Papadakis, the COO and Chief Real Estate Officer for United Soccer League. I love it. By the way, I'm sorry Detroit City didn't make it but to the finals. But it's all right. It's okay. It's I'm a homer. Don't worry. I shouldn't root in the
press.
Just
pin your hopes on the Lions and the other football sport.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. Thank you.
Justin, we really do appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir. This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. We explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
You can download this podcast and all of our podcasts, because they air Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like
everything falling apart. Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Businessweek, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.